Well, I can't say this book of the Bible. Can somebody say it for me? Thank you. 1:12-18. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is chasing after the wind. For much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Let us pray. Lord, may we listen to your words, read your words, pay attention to the message given to us by our pastor, and understand what is being said that we may go on and remember the love of Jesus Christ and the love that we must have. In your name, Lord, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. What a blessing. What a passage. We live in a world that celebrates wisdom, knowledge. We have technological breakthroughs every other day, and philosophies of self-help. Yet, despite all of that, we still struggle with grappling with questions like, why am I here? What's the purpose? Why is there suffering? How do we find peace? How many of you guys, when you've looked at the world around you and you've felt the weight of trying to figure things out, everything out. Some of you are like, no, I'll just leave it to someone else to figure out. Some of you rat grapple with it every day. What should I do with myself, the world I live in? Why is there suffering? Why is there problems? And whether we're navigating life's challenges or understanding our purpose or making sense of brokenness in this broken world, right? We find ourselves trying to rely on our own wisdom, and it leaves us feeling like something is missing. That's why the self-help industry is a $13.4 billion, that's with a B, dollar industry in the United States. Those are those self-help books. Those are the podcasts, the TV shows, or the YouTube videos, or the self-help, $13.4 billion industry. And still with all that, we struggle to find ourselves in wisdom. And that's what this Koheleth, remember the word Koheleth, the teacher, the preacher, Koheleth, the wisest man of his time, he declares when he's saying, I've applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has placed on man. He felt this burden. All the things done in the same, and all of them are Despite all the wisdom, if this is Solomon, which I believe it was, they say Solomon said to have been the wisest man, and he's still saying, with all this wisdom, I lack understanding. Human understanding alone is futile, and it's like grasping that chasing after the wind. That word there in the Hebrew, remember, was to be trying to grab hold of something that you can't. It's insubstantial. It's like trying to hold on to the smoke that's coming off of your barbecue grill. You just can't do it. Chasing after the wind. And he says, this is the inherent limitations of what we, our human minds, can wrap ourselves on. And life, it's problems, and it's really beyond our control, beyond our understandings. He says, what is crooked cannot be straightened. What lacking cannot be counted. He's highlighting the brokenness of this world, which we can't fix. You'd think with all of our knowledge, we'd be able to fix things. Yet we have the tragedy of the fires in California right now that put how many people out of their homes? And you can blame mismanagement, and you can blame... It's still tragedy. It's still tragedy. We got people in North Carolina freezing because they have no heat. Because hurricanes. We have, with all our human wisdom and a $13.4 billion industry to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, we can't solve this problem. How much we try, we learn, suffering and death are beyond our control. And of course, we look for someone to blame, right? And so we say things like, if a good God exists, how can he allow all this? Because we're looking for someone to blame other than ourselves, right? Because we got a $13.4 billion industry to fix it. And so as he is the wisest man in the world at the time, he says, with all this wisdom, I know more grief than the ignorant person. Isn't that the truth? The more educated we become, the more we realize we don't know. And the more problems we see, I could tell that in this book, the nation of Israel was doing really well. If you go back and look at the history of Israel, Solomon led the people into a very prosperous time. When people are prosperous, they're able to think the big questions. When you're just worried about where you're going to eat next, you don't think big questions. You're worried about food. So they're doing really well, prosperous. They're thinking the big questions and able to think these questions, and they're doing, the nation's doing really well. And with all this benefit, he realizes how much suffering there is. The more knowledge we have, the more grief there really is. Wow, this is an uplifting chapter, isn't it? Yeah, it ain't over yet. And these words, they do feel bleak. But while they are bleak, and especially if we focus on the suffering, because that's what we tend to do, right? We tend to focus on the negatives. We are a group of people that, when you say something, some of you are like, well, I'm an overthinker. You know what overthinking really is? You're focusing on the negatives. Because if you're really an overthinker, you'd overthink on the positives too. But that's not how that works, is it? You do go to counseling saying, oh, I'm just counselor. I'm just thinking about the positives too much in my life. We're overthinkers because we're focused on the wrong things, right? The negatives. And when we tend to focus on the negatives, and if we focus on the suffering, we can get caught up. We say, well, what's the point of all this? And this. But the Kohelet here is leading us towards something. I'll go ahead and skip it. We already read it, so we can skip a little bit. He says that what we're pointing to is that this points us to the greater truth that we can't do it. Our wisdom, no matter how great our $13.4 billion industry is, we need divine wisdom. We need wisdom that can only come from God. And Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we see the fulfillment of the wisdom that Solomon is looking for. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:24. Yet to those who are called both Jew and Gentile, Christ is the power of God. Look at this next one. And the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom. Unlike human wisdom, which leads to sorrow, Christ's wisdom leads us to peace, purpose, and hope. I know you look at church history and you say, well, that didn't lead to peace. That's because people used human wisdom and tried to call it Christ's wisdom. I'm reminded of Genesis chapter 3, which is the fail. And there's this tree, right, of the wisdom. You know, wisdom isn't bad. It's neither good nor bad. But there was this tree of knowing tov and ra, good and bad. And knowing what good and wrong was something that they're going to have to learn eventually, these first few people are. But what do they do? How do they attain it? They see it was good for them, and they take it. They see what was prosperous, and they take it. They take it under their own power. They take it from themselves. They take it. They're putting themselves in the place. Instead of receiving what was good and bad from God, they take it. And when we look at a lot of church history, we see that's exactly what we would be doing. We're saying, oh, Christ is wisdom, but we're going to take what looks good to us. We're going to seize it for ourselves. Because there's limitations to our wisdom. There's limitations to human wisdom. And if we take it for ourselves, we're going to end up with a lacking wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If we want true wisdom, it can't come from our seizing and taking. It has to come from our receiving from God. It has to see from our receiving it from the Father. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit that now resides within us. So how should we respond to this? How should we respond? How do we, as followers of Christ, respond to our limited human wisdom? Well, one, we got to understand that the wisdom Christ has given us is found in His Word, Holy Scriptures. I was having this conversation with my daughter last night. There are a lot of passages in the Bible that seem like they have no purpose in our lives today. I'm not a farmer, and I'm not 4,000 years ago in a nation far, far away from here. But the wisdom found in the scriptures, behind all those laws, is still there for us to read. So step one, acknowledge, and you know I feel like steps, so I don't know, this is not limited, this is just what I put down for a sermon. Humbly acknowledge our need for God. Pull out some wisdom here from the scriptures. Humbly acknowledge our need for God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and always submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." He'll make your path straight. And a lot of times you say, well, I felt like I was trying to follow Him. I didn't feel like my path was straight. I felt like it was taking some angles there that I didn't see. You know, He never promises He's going to illuminate the entire path. He says, trust in all your heart and lean not on your own wisdom. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't take and grasp from yourself what you think is right, but lean upon God's wisdom and say, I know that this is what He said is the best path, even though I might feel differently. Even though I might feel differently. I might see this guy over here doing this thing over here, and I said, that looks good. But if it goes up against God's wisdom, then we ought not take part. Lean not upon your own understanding, because God's understanding is infinite. And we seek wisdom through God's Word. James 1:5 says, "Now if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you." Wisdom begins with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit, cultivated through prayer and scripture reading and obedience. If we lack wisdom, which let's face it, we're all lacking wisdom. Who gives all generously? And with our relationship with God, we find rest. We find rest in Jesus Christ. I said this last week. Our restless hearts can only find rest in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." When we think our wisdom is enough, it's not enough. It only through the wisdom of Jesus Christ that surpasses our understanding. Instead of striving for answers in our own strength and our own $13.4 billion industry, we can trust in His workings. Though there may be something that He said, I wish didn't happen to you, but I've allowed it to happen because I've allowed people to say no and that I don't love you and to disobey Him. And so something bad has happened to you. We can trust that He can turn that, if we turn our attitudes towards Him, He can turn that for good. If we put our mind and allow His wisdom to shape our attitudes. And as we reflect on this, we must reflect on what it means to trust Christ and trust Christ's wisdom. And this is not something that I can give, stand up here and say, well, this is what it looks like, because it's going to be something that you have to meditate on in your circumstances as you're growing in the Scriptures, as you're meditating on the Scriptures, and He is bestowing His wisdom upon you. And it's not that it changes per person to person, because He doesn't change, but you're growing. And so your understanding is going to change. And so we have to ask, what does it mean to trust Christ's wisdom? And whatever circumstances you find yourself in now, you're going to have to say, what does it mean to trust His wisdom in this circumstance? And Solomon, his reflection reminds us that if we rely on our own understanding, we're going to be grasping, feeling empty, on our knees saying, why God? When He's saying, I've been wanting to talk to you about this your whole time. Let's put our focus on the wisdom that I'm bestowing upon you through the Scriptures. And so if you're at a point where you've been striving to figure things out, and you've been trying to figure it out on your own, I'm going to encourage you to surrender your need for control. Lean into God's wisdom. Because isn't that one of the things that we really struggle with, is we want to be in control of it? I mean, that's the American way. And I did it my way, right? Surrender your control. Lean into God's wisdom. Now, if you've never experienced Christ and the peace of Christ, I pray that you may ask Him to guide your heart today. Together as the church, we can move beyond the limitations of human wisdom. Walk in hope, walk in peace, walk in purpose. Purpose that Christ offers. So let us trust Him, encourage one another, and seek His guidance in all that we do. Yahweh Adonai, Lord God, thank You for reminding us of the limitations of our understandings. Thank You for reminding us the infinite wisdom found in You, found in Jesus Christ. Help us to trust in You with all our hearts. Lean not on our own understandings. And guide us as we seek Your wisdom, and grant us the peace as we rest in Your perfect plan. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to